Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, August 15th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have TDO's own classic adversaries, we will call them. I have the Daily Observations' Katy Perry with us, Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I mean, there's so much I could say to that. But I'll just say hi for now.
Well, hello. And also with us today, the Daily Observations, Taylor Swift, our own John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Oh my God, that's too much.
Isn't it?
That's over the top for me.
Look what you made me do, John. All right. The first thing that we want to talk about today is, Charlotte, a piece that you came across about Tumblr and Facebook, about Tumblr, which was recently purchased by Automattic, and how if Tumblr and Automattic team up, that maybe this is something that could make a viable Facebook alternative.
Yeah, it's just a really interesting piece written by Matthew Ingram at the Columbia Journalism Review. And it got me thinking, is that a viable option? And we were discussing it off air as well, and we were thinking, well, what is it that people like about Facebook and what is it that people don't like about Facebook? Well, people like sharing stuff with their friends. Mm-hmm. And people like spouting their opinions and they like reading stuff that their friends have shared. But there are clearly a growing number of privacy concerns, of, if we're being crude, Mark Zuckerberg concerns, mm-hmm. and so on, that have put Facebook under a lot of pressure. And so having something like Tumblr in the Automattic family, which has WordPress, which builds a huge amount of the web, as we know, mm-hmm. I think it is potential that there could be a challenge. We don't know yet. We do not know, for example, what Automattic wants to do with Tumblr. We have no idea. Is it going to integrate it into WordPress? Is it going to leave it as a standalone blogging platform? Is it going to do a mixture of the two? We genuinely don't know. But it is interesting that having this thing, this platform where you can share content, share pictures, can, you know, do all that kind of thing, and perhaps not have some of the stuff we dislike about Facebook, mm-hmm. that's something to consider, I think.
Well, and I think there may be something to that, but I think part of the issue with Facebook is, at least for right now and has been for a while, is that everybody's on Facebook because everybody's on Facebook. Right. And inertia is really powerful, regardless of what kind of appeal Tumblr has for people or anything like that. I think it can be really hard. And, it's hard to kind of pry people off a platform. I mean, you know, I think, was it last summer? I don't remember what it was, but there was a headline about MySpace. And I remember sort of the larger takeaway being people going, there's still MySpace? Like, you know, and I think, you know, to get people off of Facebook and doing something else, you know, they have to sort of be able to take people with them so that they're not updating both, or, you know, they're only going to do it for a while, or find a way to cross post or something. Because getting people off Facebook is going to take an extinction level event in order to force that change. I don't think people are going to just sort of do it voluntarily. How about you, John?
I don't think people will leave Facebook as a matter of course in a free market decision. Facebook's too popular for that. I think what might force the issue is government's determination to punish Facebook for its offenses, which will create regulations, which will create difficulties for Facebook, which will force them to do things that drive people away from the platform.
Well, so they're doing things to drive people away from the platform now, and nobody's forcing them to do it.
Facebook's doing that themselves. And also, Matthew, in his piece, made a really good point. He picked up on an interview that the Automattic CEO did with The Verge. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to be a lot of what he wanted to do, as Matthew puts it, is bring back some of the magic of the old days of blogging. And also, he did say, I would love Tumblr to become a social alternative. Mm-hmm. It has the fun and friendliness of some of the other networks we use, but without that democracy destroying yeah. the sentence was, it's worth noting, left unfinished.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing
but
that...
I think that's a really good point, isn't it? That, like, you've got this fun, quirky community. It hasn't got, perhaps, some of the nastiness, dare I say it, I can't wait for your letters, that we see on Reddit and even more extreme platforms
yeah.
that we know about. It doesn't have, Tumblr doesn't have that. Obviously, there was a whole, there was the whole porn thing, wasn't there, with Tumblr mm-hmm. as well. But
is the horse out of the barn? I mean, is it possible to construct a social media platform that doesn't fall victim to the foibles of humans?
No, because human beings go on them.
Yeah. I would say no, but it is possible for somebody to create one which would be compelling for a lot of people that does not fall prey to Mark Zuckerberg. Like this one did. Like, of course, everyone wants all their data to be public all the time. Of course, it doesn't matter if people at my company are reading all the stuff that you think is secret. Of course, it doesn't matter. All these things are fine. Like, he doesn't, I don't feel like his fundamental approach is one that I agree with, which is why I don't like Facebook. So I think that it is entirely possible if he's not involved with building it, that it will be fundamentally different in some other way. I mean, I still see, like, I'm on other social media platforms and I see people posting screenshots from Tumblr often, and it is easy to share and interact with other people. You can post in, you know, with a certain tag or something, and you can, I don't spend a whole lot of time on Tumblr, but you can follow certain, like, hashtags or certain communities,
yeah, and kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, you can do a lot of what you can do.
Right?
Yeah,
correct.
So, totally free.
Yeah, the business model that seems to have been locked into places that you get people roped in mm-hmm. by virtue of the fact the service is free, and then you realize that you have to start making money, and that's when you start betraying the customers.
But there's adverts
to sell their information.
Isn't there yeah. advertising on Tumblr?
Yeah, there's now? Advertising. Yeah.
So here's the thing. You identified the issue perfectly in a couple of ways, Kelly. One, you said people are on Facebook because people are on Facebook. You also said, I don't really like Facebook, but I know for a fact you're on Facebook because we've sent each other stuff on Facebook.
Yes.
Right. So you're absolutely right. That's why people stay out there, because they have a community on there. They know people that they know that they're going to maybe miss out on event invitations or news or things like that if they go off Facebook. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the problems new, in inverted commas, social networks have is that they are starting from scratch.
Yes.
It is very, very hard to build up a community and build up a network and popularity from nothing now, because there are the behemoths of Facebook and Twitter out there already. Mm-hmm. However, Tumblr already exists. Now, I'll repeat, we don't quite know what Automattic plan to do with it, but it already exists. It's not a nothing. So that there are people there already, which I do think gives it something of an advantage.
Yes, I 100% agree, because I think that's one thing it does have going for it, which is part of why.
Maybe I don't mean advantage. I mean, it gives it at least a fighting chance, right?
Well, it's an advantage over starting from zero.
How many subscribers are on Tumblr? Do you know?
We don't, because also remember, people can have different Tumblr sites. I haven't seen numbers, but it's. I'm sure they're out there, and it's obviously. You know, it's a pretty, this is a sizable chunk, but it's obviously pales completely in comparison with Facebook and Twitter.
Right. Or even WordPress, which is the other thing that Automattic is in charge of.
Apparently, 35% of the world's 1 million most popular websites have run on it.
I think the key is figuring out what the metric for success is. If you're going up against Facebook, you're going to fail. If you have your own set of standards and metrics, maybe you can succeed in your own realm in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And be happy with that.
Well, I don't think you have to be Facebook in order to compete with Facebook. Like, I don't think calling them status messages and all that kind of stuff, I don't think that's going to make a difference. I think what's really going to need to happen is it's going to need to be a compelling way for people to share stuff with other people with whom they choose. And Tumblr already lets you do that. And you know, the like we talked about the Tumblr porn thing. I know on earlier episodes of the show, we talked about like what was going to happen with it because there were like bots that were going through and trying to scrub everybody's inappropriate content. And it was finding like pictures from people cooking, you know, because it was deciding that food was something that, you know, people weren't supposed to see and different stuff. So there's, you know, I think it's going to depend on what Automattic decides the shape of Tumblr needs to be going forward. And
when you construct a service like that, Kelly, yeah. It appeals to a certain class of people. Mm-hmm. It tends to max out. You tend to create a fixed audience,
yeah,
as opposed to growing and growing and growing. And that kind of goes against the Silicon Valley concept of success, too.
Right.
You have to be ready to expect that you might reach a certain maximum size and deal with that and stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And set your expectations and your finances accordingly. That's right. Hard to do. That's
it
hard.
Is. Yes. But well, I'm interested to see what happens with it. Go ahead, Charlotte.
I have a Tumblr. How exciting. I didn't realize. I haven't logged on for years, but yeah, still that. I remembered my password.
Yeah, I haven't logged in ages, but I know I have one. And part of what's going to be interesting to me is having seen some of the rise in what's called the indie web movement, where people are getting off Instagram because Facebook, and people are getting off WhatsApp and Facebook itself, and even Twitter in some cases, because they're moving to some other platform, or some people are moving to stuff where they own their own content. Like, it's part of the terms and service. Like, all this stuff is yours. It doesn't belong to us. We're not using it for advertising. We're not doing anything with it. And it's up to you what happens with that content.
Which is what people always liked about WordPress, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And that, and you know, it, especially with like, you know, all the flavors WordPress comes in, you know, because like you can let them host it, so you don't have to mess with any sort of web configuration or anything. If that's not your scene, you don't have to do it. And if that is your scene and, you know, your idea of a fun Saturday night is messing around in a PHP config file or whatever, you know, power to you. You can do that if you want to. And WordPress offers that option as well if you want to completely host it all yourself. But I'm interested to see what happens with this, particularly with regards to making it easy for people to share pictures and share content and have their friends be able to access that content easily, but also have it be their own. And, you know, I own it and it's mine, and you know, and I don't have to worry about like any sort of privacy stuff like I do with some of these other services. So I'm very curious to see where that ends up going. And hopefully it goes somewhere awesome, because it would really be great if there were an alternative to Facebook that people were into and really liked. And, you know, Tumblr has lots of different community sort of aspects around it. You know, like you hear people talk about design Twitter or film Twitter or photography Twitter, things like that. You know, there's the same sort of slices through Tumblr, like loads and loads of people that are all having this conversation that most people aren't really seeing. So hopefully it'll be interesting. We'll have to find out. One other thing I want to talk to you about today is, while we're interested to find things out, is OmniFocus. And OmniFocus is a professional to-do manager. It helps you keep all your projects together, keep all your lists done. And what it does for you, as its tagline says, is accomplish more every day. OmniFocus is available on iOS. It comes with an Apple Watch complication, so you can manage everything even right there on your wrist. It's available for macOS, and you can use it on whatever screen you've got, including that work PC, because that includes OmniFocus Web. So you can, anywhere you can get to a web page, you're able to pull up those projects and make sure that you're keeping everything up to date. If you're a GTD person, or if you aspire to be a getting things done person, OmniFocus makes an excellent trusted system, because you can enter those tasks from anywhere. Like I said, web page, Mac version of the app, iOS version of the app, watch version of the app. You can enter anything from anywhere and make sure that none of it gets lost. And you can upgrade to the pro version if you want even more customization for things like showing a particular perspective or viewing tasks in a certain way. You also get AppleScript functionality with the pro version and lots more. So what you can do is download your free 2-week trial over at OmniFocus.com. Figure it out. See what you like. It's you also get a trial period on the iOS version as well if you just want to be able to view things and kind of see if it's going to work for you. And you can do all of that over at omnifocus.com. That's omnifocus.com. We'd like to thank OmniFocus for sponsoring the show today. Our other topic is, John, something that you wrote about yesterday, talking about iPhones and what we're going to call the next one.
Tuesday, actually.
Oh, Tuesday.
Yeah, there is this conundrum in the Apple community about what Apple's going to do now that they've opened Pandora's box with iPhone 10, switching from Arabic numerals to Roman numerals. Roman numerals is the path of insanity. It's a dangerous, perilous road. And the question is Apple going to stay with it in terms of iPhone 11 XI, or is Apple going to drop out of the Roman numeral temporary insanity and go back to Arabic numerals like they did in the previous generations and go back to iPhone 11? I read a lot of articles that refer to iPhone 11 as 1-1 Arabic numerals, just I think because writers sense the impending disaster of continuing the thread of Super Bowlitis and Roman numerals and the presentational and branding difficulties of going down the continued Roman numerals path. And so I, with a light heart, kind of explored the other day on Tuesday the dramatic case of Super Bowlitis and disaster that lies in front of Apple if they go down this path of continued Roman numerals. The mind reels. And then... And then, on top of that, the same day I was writing it, Andrew pointed me to an article, I think it was at 9 to 5 Mac, about how Apple may go another step and add Pro to the name of the certain models of the iPhone 11, perhaps the iPhone 11 S Max, or whatever they decide to call it, the high-end big one with the exotic cameras and the big screen, and call that the Pro. And then all of a sudden, one starts reeling in horror at the thought of, well, what does a Pro iPhone mean? How do I get one? How much is it going to cost me? Why is a Pro phone better than an average phone? I'm just an everyday user. Oh, my God, I don't deserve a Pro machine. What's it going to be for? Photographers only, you know, didn't dare buy it at $1,200 to say that I have a Pro-level machine in my pocket. And it opens up another Pandora's box that I briefly explored. And I think that's another problem that is pending. So we're faced with the prospect of an iPhone XI Pro, which boggles the mind.
Well, I think, if we had had this conversation last August, I would have said they're not going to keep calling it 10. They're not going to keep calling it the Roman numeral one, the Roman numeral version, because they made the iPhone 10 and we're done with the 10. And so when we get to the next ones, they're going to go 10S, you know, because we at that point, I still believe there'd be an S track. So I feel like part of the reason that it's being referred to, at least right now, as the 1-1 is because that makes it clear what you're talking about. Like when people are writing about it, you know, when you read about what the weird camera configuration is going to be on the back of the next iPhone, you know, everybody's using iPhone space 1-1 as that designation just to be abundantly clear about what it is we're talking about. And because
Apple likes to toy with us, you know, they toyed with us with Mac OS 10 with an X, and then the secret handshake and decoder ring explanation was, no, you pronounce it 10. And if you're in the know, then you say 10. But if you say Mac OS X, then you're considered some sort of
noob.
Mental case. So Apple has this tradition of using the X and then secret handshake. You have to call it 10.
Well, but they also have a long and storied tradition of just burning down every naming convention that they've given us before this point. And if you want to know, the iPhone 5 came in colors, which is why it was the 5C. And when the iPhone 10 came in colors, it was the 10R. Why? Courage? I don't know. Like, yeah.
Courage, yes.
I don't know.
Faddishness.
It was a dumb reason, whatever it was, because you taught me that the color one ends in C. And I.
A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of brilliant minds.
All right, I'm glad we got a bumper sticker out of today's podcast.
Can I confess something?
Absolutely.
I don't care. This is just one of those topics that I literally cannot get worked up about in any way. I am absolutely in the market for the new iPhone. My phone contract will be ending just about the time it comes out. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really interested in this new device that we're expecting sometime in September.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really don't care what it's called. If it's an iPhone and it does the stuff I want and it's my cell provider is offering me a competitive package, mm-hmm. that's what I'm interested in.
Right.
Well, Charlotte, you have to have the mind of the scientist. The mind of the scientist seeks order and logic and nomenclatural perfection.
He means robot, Charlotte.
Bringing order and understandability to the world is the key to the scientist's mind.
I think I just got a massive burn.
No. No, that's just John explaining why this is so important to him. But remember, he's also a robot, and that matters too.
I'm heading to the burn unit. No, honestly, I really have a genuine interest in what this device is going to offer, when it's going to be mm-hmm. available, what I can get my hands on one, what the camera is going to be, mm-hmm. what kind of I'm particularly interested in the memory, and of course, I'm interested in the price.
Yep.
If it's called
Are you ready to spend another $1,000, Cheryl? Charlotte?
I won't spend any dollars because I'll spend pounds sterling, but yeah.
You're not going to wait for the 5G in 2020.
That was... Wow.
I'm not. No, this is a very good point from John Atchie. I would like to be able to wait for the 5G in 2020, but I need a new phone before that. Remember I haven't bought a handset and then pay the monthly contract. I pay, it's like we get a monthly contract and that pays off the phone mm-hmm. over kind of 18 months. That's how I've done it. So okay. My phone contract is coming to an end. In the middle of September, I'm available for an upgrade and will certainly join you, Kelly, to discuss the decision I make when I make it. But
well, I have one to make as well, so I would love to have you on to talk about it, and we'll figure out what
exactly.
we're going to get.
And there are some compelling offers starting to emerge on slightly older iPhone models,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting as well.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a little bit of a decision to make there, but the one thing that will not affect my decision in any way is what it's called.
Sure. I'm interested because I sort of like to see where they're going with it, because it also sort of helps when you want to talk about the one in the future, right? So like after we'd had a few iterations of, we got a new number phone, and then the next year we got that number with an S at the end, you know, it was easy to start talking about, like, when, once the 6 came out, it was easy to start talking about, well, the 6S, you know, it's not out yet, but we're pretty sure it's what it's going to be. And when we talk about the 6S, you know what I mean. And I think part of the issue that John is hung up on is, are we talking about an iPhone space 1.1 or are we talking about an iPhone space XI? Only because, like, it's hard to tell what it is you're actually talking about. And for me... I too am interested in what it's going to be, because I'm also up for an upgrade, and I'm interested to see what the camera's going to be like. It will be presumably the first Face ID phone I pick up, because I still have an iPhone 8 with a home button.
You watch,
like an animal.
Kelly, you just gave us the key. iPhone XIS. People are going to start calling it the iPhone 10IS.
Mm-hmm.
You watch.
And we already have an iPhone XS.
If they do that, it'll be the XIS, because people will separate the 10 and the I.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we can't have too many. You can't have a bunch of letters on there. It's not going to. Because we all know X is 10. Like, Apple has trained us that for 2 decades now. So,
right, and that's what's going to lead to that syntactic disaster.
Yeah. I think I don't know what I think about it yet, but yeah, we'll figure it out.
Do we think the word disaster is doing quite a lot of work there?
Well, Apple, you know, provides us manna from heaven, and we linger on every bite.
And in the kind of context of the world.
Yes, I would say that's valid. But we'll leave it there for now. Charlotte, I look forward to having you back when we finally hear more about whatever the new phone is called, and we figure out what we're going to get. So thanks for coming here today.
Thanks. I'm really excited for the letters I'm going to get now.
Also looking forward to your letters. Friendly neighborhood robot John Martellaro. Hi, John. It's really nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
And as always, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.